long. Alleluia. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercies. Thank you for your helps. That is so great in our lives. Thank you for your blessings. You have showered upon us. Thank you for your interventions that we get every time we pray and call upon your name. Thank you for making impossible things possible unto us. Thank you, Lord, for turning around negative situations in our lives to surrender to your will for us. Thank you for moving us forward on every side. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the grace you have given to us to know more of you, to draw closer to you, to learn your nature, to learn your ways. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the grace you have given to us to be matured in the knowledge of you and stop becoming spiritual babes. Thank you for that grace. We thank you for those things you have taught us through these Bible study classes. Thank you for how the teachings have changed our lives. We are here again this evening to learn from you. O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, minister to everyone, speak to everyone. Show us everything that is in your mind for us at this time. Enlighten our understanding of your scriptures. Thank you, Lord, for we know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. And I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We are going to continue from where we stopped. During the last Bible study class. Don't forget that we have been looking at a topic that says, a broad topic that says the Christian's relationship to society. The Christian's relationship to society. And we have looked at several topics and of topics on that this broad topic. Yeah, the last one that we talked about was don't compromise or tolerate ungodly ways. Yeah. Today, we'll be looking at a new topic. But before I start discussing on this new topic, I want to briefly share with you how this Bible study class started. I mean, how we started this Tuesday Bible study classes. Yeah. It all started from a request from a sister in Trinidad. Yeah, the sister, I think at that time we were on WhatsApp platform. We haven't moved to Telegram platform. So the sister newly joined our platform. Yeah, and then I think she was following everything we do, following the prayers, the fastings, the weekly fastings, the weekly prayer sessions. Yeah, and then she was following all the articles, the posts. Yeah, so she was like, I want to know more. I want to know more of God's word. Yeah, because she felt like there is not much of God's word that we do on those other sessions. So she was asking that, can we have just a separate session for studying the Word of God, for teaching the Bible? Yeah, I said, okay, I'm going to look for a time to put that, or I'm going to create a time for that. So that was how these Bible study classes started. So it was just the request of one person. It wasn't that I initiated it. It wasn't my plan. It was a request from that sister in Trinidad. Yeah, so now, the reason why I'm saying this is because today, that sister that made the request is no longer here. She's not even part of our platform anymore. She's not part of she's not part of our ministry again. Yeah. But she was the one that made the request that led to these classes we're having. And we have been having these classes now for quite some time. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is because you need to know what gave birth to these Bible study classes. It was an hunger to know more of God's word in the heart of one person. And God decided to grant the request. Yeah, and that was how we started having these classes. hunger for God's word. So don't just come because it's time for Bible study. Do you have the hunger to know more? To know more of Him, more of Jesus, more of His nature, more of His mind, more of His word? Do you have that hunger? Or you are just joining, maybe if you don't join, and someone might ask you, why didn't you join? Yeah, so we need to keep that hunger. Hunger for more of God's word. Hunger for more of God's revelations. I pray that you will not lose the hunger. For those of you that still have it. In Jesus' name. And for those of you that don't have the hunger, I pray the Lord will give you that hunger for His word. In Jesus' name. So now, let's move to today's topic. This topic says, avoid wanton parties and activities. Yeah, as you relate as a Christian with your society, with others in this world, avoid wanton parties and activities, wanton, as in W-A-N-T-O-N, W-A-N-T-O-N, wanton, wanton parties. So what is the meaning of wanton? Let's look at the dictionary. Yeah, wanton simply means extravagant, extravagant lifestyle. Also mean lasciviousness. Yeah, to be lascivious. Yeah, and what is lasciviousness? Or maybe I should also read this other meaning in this dictionary. Yeah. It says wanton means to be loose, to be wandering. Yeah, to have no control. Yeah, to have no control, to be extravagant. That is, you have no self control concerning worldly pleasures, sinful pleasures, no self-control, and then extravagant lifestyle. Yeah, luxurious lifestyle that does not glorify God. Yeah, and then lascivious lifestyle. Yeah, now let us look at what does lascivious mean? What does lascivious mean? Lascivious means lustful, incontinent. Yeah, I like that one. Incontinent. That is no self-control. Yeah. I used to know of a lady here in Abuja. I don't know if she have repented now. Yeah. That lady couldn't. Not even could. She has a lifestyle. She has a sexual lifestyle that is lascivious. Yeah, she's not married, and she can sleep with up to four men, four different men in a day. Yeah, she will still be looking for more. Yeah, she will still be looking for more men to sleep with. So that is an example of lasciviousness. Yeah. To have no control over sinful pleasures or worldly pleasures. Incontinent means something that is running. Just like you open tap water. Yeah, just the way you open tap water and then the water keeps running. Yeah, that is an example of incontinence. Something that keeps on flowing and there is no control to stop it. Yeah, you know, if you don't want a water to continue to run from a tap, you turn the knob of that tap and then the water will stop flowing. So, but a state of incontinence is when the water keeps flowing and there is no control, there is nothing to stop it. So that is what wantonness means. Wanton, lascivious, yeah, incontinence. That is what it means. To lack self-control over sinful pleasures and worldly pleasures. Praise the Lord. So, our topic says, avoid such kind of things and such kind of people as a Christian. Avoid wanton parties. Yeah, those parties that is full of wantonness. Yeah, whether it's called birthday parties, or burial ceremony, or wedding ceremony, or whatever they call the party or get together party or any kind of party. Yeah. That is full of wantonness, lasciviousness. Avoid it as Christians. Yeah. Avoid such parties. Some Christians, they still go, they say they are Christians, which I don't believe they are. They still go to nightclubs. They still go to night parties. And then in those places, you see all forms of painful appearances, seductive appearances. Yeah. Of all forms of temptations. all forms of sexual immorality, yeah, you find them in those parties. And the kind of parties some Christians love to attend. Yeah, they go to those parties on Saturdays, and then on Sundays they come to church and raise hands in the they will raise up their hands in worship in the church. Yeah, singing praises to God. I don't know to which God. Yeah, because the same body they have offered to sin. The same body they offered to sin, to lust, to lasciviousness, to darkness, to evil, is the same body they are coming to church on Sunday to offer to God. Yeah, and some of them are even pastors' children. Pastors' children, though some of them, their parents aren't aware of the kind of lifestyle they are living, because some of them are students, so they've gotten admission into universities, into colleges, so they are far from home, far from the watch of their parents. Yeah. And then Friday, Saturday, they attend all these one-ton parties. And then on Sundays, they come to church, raising hands to worship God, deceiving themselves. They would even be dancing in the church. Yeah, the same body they used to dance in those worldly parties, they come to the church to dance with the same bodies. They are not even afraid of God's judgment. Let's look at Romans. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. Yeah, you're going to see what the Bible have to say concerning the kind of sacrifice that is acceptable in the sight of God. Romans chapter 12. Remember that I said when you are in a Bible study class, you open your Bible. Yeah, you don't just listen to the teaching. You open your Bibles right there where you are. So we are reading Romans 12. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 2. Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Your bodies. Yeah, it didn't say your soul. It didn't say your spirit. Because some people will say, don't judge me by my appearance, or don't judge me by whatever I do with my body. My soul is connected with Jesus. My spirit is connected with Jesus. So don't think I'm a sinner because of what I do with my body or the way I appear physically. Yeah, those people, they are just deceiving themselves. Yeah, because your heart cannot be connected to Jesus and your body will not follow your heart. Your soul is connected to Jesus, your body will follow that, your soul. to connect with Jesus as well. Yeah. So if you cannot offer your bodies to Jesus as a living sacrifice, you are not a child of God. And you do not belong to the kingdom of God. Yeah, and then he didn't say, present your bodies a living sacrifice only on Sundays. Yeah, he didn't say, do this only on Sundays when you appear in the church service. Yeah, it means every day of your life. Present your bodies as living sacrifice. Present your bodies, not only your heart or your soul, your body, a living sacrifice in every day of your life. And then it went further to say, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Present your body holy unto God. Present it acceptable unto God. So if a Christian that is conscious of presenting your body to God as a living sacrifice, you will not carry that body to wanton parties. You will not carry that body to that body of yours to places that God disapproves, places where darkness is exalted, things are exalted. Yeah, I'm not talking about maybe when you are doing evangelism, you are going about to preach the gospel, and then the Holy Spirit says, go to that place and tell them about the gospel. Yeah, that is a different scenario. Yeah, but you taking your body to places that is full of temptations, immoralities, alcoholism, and all forms of sinful pleasures, that is very wrong for you as a Christian. Very, very wrong. But the Bible says that is your reasonable service. Presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God. Is your reasonable service. What does it mean to be a living sacrifice? It means that you are a sacrifice that is alive. A sacrifice that glorifies God, that honors God. It means you are a sacrifice that connects with God, that can connect with God, connect with heaven. Because heaven is full of life. Heaven is full of life, holiness, purity. Now, heaven is not a place of death, but a place full of life. So you must have the same life in you. You must have the same life that is in heaven, that is in God. The same life that is in the people, in must have the same life in you for your body, soul, and spirit to be acceptable in your service to God. And how will you have that life? By dying to sin, dying to your flesh, dying to worldly pleasures. That is how you produce the living sacrifice. So you die to self to produce life. So death gives birth to life. In the kingdom of God, death gives birth to life. Don't forget that Jesus had to die so that we can have life. Yeah, so that's the pattern in God's kingdom. You die to live. You die to worldly things. You die to sin. Die to sinful pleasures. You die to the cravings in your body. The lustful cravings in your body. You die to all of those things. To live in God's sight. Yeah. So, Christians are supposed to be people who are always dying so that they can always be alive unto God. Christians are supposed to be such kind of people. Yeah, the Lord that have gone wrong in the body of Christ today, and it's painful that many people are not talking about what has gone wrong with us. Only very few people are talking about it. A lot have gone wrong with the body of Christ. And many people seem to be very okay with it and comfortable with it. Well, that shows how many people will be destroyed among us when the judgment of God starts. Remember that the Bible says, judgment shall begin from the house of God. Have you read that in your Bible? Or I should read it for you. Yeah. So when judgment stands, that confirms how many Christians that will die and perish when judgment starts. If now that a lot is wrong with us, nobody cares to talk about it, and everyone seems to be okay and comfortable with it, that's a sign that when God's judgment starts, millions of Christians will be destroyed. Let me look for that verse to show you. Where the Bible says judgment will start from the house of God. First Peter chapter 4, verse 17. First Peter 4, verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. You can see this is Bible. This is not, I'm not the one that wrote this portion of the Bible. Yeah. And it went further to say, and if it first begin with us, what shall the end of what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? first to begin at once, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? So let us not think that God will first of all judge the unbelievers that are outside the church. God is going to judge us first. We that are already part of the church system. So we are the one that will be judged first. And in fact, the judgment is ongoing already. Yeah, it is ongoing already. And don't forget that when this portion of the Bible was written, it was many years ago, over 2,000 years ago. And at that time, this man of God was talking about judgment starting from the house of God. How much more now? So don't you think we are already under judgment? Yeah. Don't you think we're already being judged by God? Yeah, because it is strange that so many things is going wrong in the church and only few people are talking about it. Only few people consider it to be sinful and offensive against God. Is that not a sign that we are already under judgment? May God help us. Yeah, so I'm coming back to Romans. Verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Yeah, when your body are holy, or when your body is holy and acceptable in the sight of God, that is when you can offer a reasonable sacrifice, a reasonable service. Yeah, that will be reasonable to the angels. Yeah, and reasonable to those that are in heaven. Yeah, and sometimes the angels just look at us and they just shake their head. Yeah, because what we are offering to God is rubbish. Yeah, and dirty and polluting and unclean. Yeah, unclean, evil. Yeah. So your service become reasonable in the sight of God when you have preserved your body to be a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. I pray that the Lord will help you to obey God's word as it is. In Jesus' name. Yeah, some pastors will climb the pulpit with serious anger not even a righteous anger, because there is a righteous anger and there is unrighteous anger. When your anger is against sin, against sinful practices, that is a righteous anger. But when your anger is not against sin, it's just all about yourself. Like, that is, you're angry because you couldn't have your own way. You're angry because you want to retaliate, because you couldn't forgive. Yeah, that one is unrighteous anger. Yeah, you're angry because you can't love, because you hate some people. You can't show love to them. That one is unrighteous anger. Yeah. So you see some pastors full of anger, the unrighteous type of anger, and then they will mount the pulpit to preach. I wonder what they want to preach. And I wonder how the preaching would produce the result it should produce. Yeah, because the body they are putting on the altar is already a dead sacrifice. Yeah, the body is already an abomination to God. Yeah, some of them, they have just finished committing fornication and adultery, and then they come to the pulpit to preach. Yeah, so we need to repent and start giving God an acceptable service, an acceptable worship, an acceptable sacrifice. May the Lord help you to do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us look at another scripture. Let us look at Romans 13. Romans 13. Verse 10 to 14. Romans 13, verse 13 to 14. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Praise the Lord. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put off your flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't gratify the desires of your flesh. Don't fulfill the lust in your flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does it mean to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? It means to live a life that is under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. It means when people see you, they see the Lord Jesus Christ. When you talk, they hear the Lord Jesus Christ. So which means your attitude, your character is just the same with that of the Lord Jesus Christ. It means your thought, your word is just the same with that of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what it means to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It means that you are no longer alive. You are no longer in control. You are no longer in existence. The only person that is living in your life and that everyone sees is the Lord Jesus Christ. Your flesh, if you still follow your flesh, how will Jesus take over your life when you still follow the flesh? How is that possible? You know, sometimes I've met some people and then they could discern that in their minds they think I am like them. You know, there is this feeling in the mind, in the bodies of people that that are doing contrary to the word of God. There is this feeling in them that every other person is like them. Yeah. There's this feeling in them that every other person thinks the way they think, reason the way they reason. So when they are so full of pride, there's this feeling that other people have the same pride. Yeah. So when as I draw closer to those people, I could discern in their heart that they thought I am like them. Yeah. They are relating to me as one who is like them. Yeah. So they don't know that I have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, that I am not like them. So sometimes they want me to respond and react to their, you know, the things they say to me or the things they do to me the way they would react. Yeah, because, I mean, the way they would have reacted. Because they thought I am just like them. Yeah. We have to be different. We must let those that are not living the life of Christ, we must let them know that we are not like them. So when they bring their provocation to move you to anger, to provoke you to anger, don't respond as though you are like them. Respond as Jesus would respond. Yeah, don't respond the way they want you to respond. Respond as Jesus would respond. and they will be put to shame. They will be ashamed. Yeah. Because the spirit that is moving them is looking for someone to devour. And then you, maybe the person wants you to start fussing. Yeah, the person wants you to start fighting. And then you just smile. And you just speak in a very gentle and cool manner. You will see that spirit will bow instantly. That spirit that is raging from them, wanting to provoke you into a fight, you will see that spirit bow instantly. Yeah, that is how to live as Christians. Yeah, but some Christians who lack wisdom, they also will respond the way the enemy wants them to respond. And they enter into captivity just by doing that. I hope you'll be wise. Yeah, you have seen that in Romans chapter 13, verse 13 to 14. Don't be part of drunkenness, rioting, wantonness, chambering. Don't be part of strife and envy. Don't be part of all of those things. May the Lord help you. In Jesus' name. Now let's look at another scripture. First Peter chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. First Peter 4, 3 to 4. For the time past of our life, may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Now what Peter was saying here is that As Christians, you might have had a past life of those things we have been talking about. You might have done those things in the past, like excess of wine, lasciviousness, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries. Yeah, but you should not go back into those things. Yeah, just as the unbelievers consider you to be strange and different, let it continue like that. Let them see you as strange. Let them see you as different. Praise the Lord. Don't join them. Don't go back into those things. Don't return into your vomit. Yeah. Even if they call you names, be happy because that is where salvation is. Salvation is in being different. It's not in compromise. It's not in joining the evildoers to do evil. It is in coming out from among them to be different. That is where salvation is. And sooner or later, you will see those people coming to you, asking you to help them come out of their captivities. Because sooner or later, they will realize that you have something they don't have. Yeah, we have seen that happen a lot. Even though more of that is not happening nowadays, but it used to happen some years back. Yeah, that the people in the world, they will come to Christians, asking Christians to help them come out of their sinful lifestyles, because they saw that Christians have what they don't have. Yeah, and they will come begging Christians, please save me, I'm dying. I want to come out, I want to be free. I want to have the peace of mind that you have. I want to have the light that you have. Yeah, a lot of them will keep coming, asking for help, asking for salvation. Yeah, we saw a lot of that some years back. But I don't know what has happened to this generation. Let's move to okay. Let us read Matthew chapter 9. Verse 9 to 13. Yeah. Matthew chapter 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw him, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Yeah, and I want to also show you that as you come out from among them, you should also create an access point for those people to come to you. Yeah. Just as Jesus was different. Jesus was a righteous man. Of course you know that. But Jesus created an opening for all kinds of people to come to him and learn the kingdom of God. It is not that Jesus went to those people to join them, but he created room for them to come and learn the kingdom of God from him. Yeah, he was not just going to eat with them and just go like that. He was going to tell them the truth, teach them the truth about God's kingdom. Yeah, so we should not go to the extreme by trying to avoid everyone, just as the Pharisees were doing. We shouldn't go to the extreme by calling sinners, dirty people, and condemning them. We shouldn't go to that extreme. We should create opening for them to come to know our God. Even though you have to set your standard, it's not as if they can just come and do anything around you. Yeah, so they must know their limits. You have to set your standard that this is what I stand for. So if you are okay with that, fine, you are welcome. If you are not okay, you are free to go. Yeah, the standard must remain, but let them have access to talk to you. Let them and create opening for you to also talk to them about the kingdom of God. If they invite you, maybe to their house, you can go. Yeah, because that will be an opportunity to talk to them about the kingdom of God. Not that you just go and then you just eat and drink, and then you don't demonstrate an example of Jesus there. No, even in the conversations, they have to know about your Jesus. You have to tell them about your Jesus. Yeah. For instance, it is very difficult for somebody like me to be in a conversation and not talk about Jesus and God. It would be so difficult. Yeah, because Jesus is in everything, and everything centers around Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, so it's very difficult for me to be in a conversation and not mention God and not mention Jesus. It would be hard. Yeah, before you know it, what you'll be hearing, I'll be saying glory, glory be to God. We thank God for his grace. There's no how I will be in a conversation and I will not speak the languages of the kingdom of God. Yeah, so when we mix with unbelievers, we are not doing that to embrace their darkness. We are doing that to create opportunities for them to come to know our Jesus and come to know the truth. Yeah. But some Christians, they will visit unbelievers and then maybe they enter into the sitting room and then saw that they are playing, you know, saw that the whole family is listening to worldly music. There's nothing wrong in telling them that. Can you please lower the volume of that music? I don't like listening to worldly music. Yeah, can you please just slow down the volume or off the music, if possible. Yeah, not that when you go, they are playing worldly music and then you too you start dancing the worldly music to get together with them. No. So you have to set your standard. Anyone that will come closer to you, they must know what you stand for. Yeah, but at the same time, be hospitable and give unbelievers access to come closer to you. Don't allow them draw you into their darkness. But you try as much as possible to draw them into your light. Yeah. Take every advantage to pull them into your light. Yeah, there are some people that I never told them to stay away from me or to stay far from me. But they know that anytime they come closer, everything I'll be saying is Jesus, the gospel, the kingdom of God. So they know that, oh, this man, he will keep talking about Jesus. So, and because they don't want to hear about Jesus, so they just distance themselves. But anytime they want to come close, they are free to come. But they already know my standard. Yeah, they already know what I stand for. Yeah. So that is how we should mix with unbelievers. Not that you let them draw you into their sins and darkness, and may God give you wisdom. The last scripture we're going to be looking at is 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 10 verse 27. First Corinthians 10 27. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question, for conscience sake. Praise the Lord. Here, Apostle Paul was saying, if anyone that is an unbeliever, that is a sinner, invite you to a feast, and you have the chance to go, go. And if they put any food before you, eat. But don't ask, what type of meat is in this? What type of meat is in this soup? Maybe you are the type that you don't eat pork. That is pig meat. Yeah, you don't. Let's say you don't eat pig meat, which is called pork. And then you visit a non-believer, and then they present food to you. You don't need to be asking what kind of meat is here. Is it pork or is it dog meat? You just have to eat whatever they have placed before you. You pray, you bless it, and then you eat. Yeah, of course, there are some things that you as a person might not. Because you have personal revelation about those food. For instance, there are some things I cannot eat. That is, I can't use my money to go and buy it and cook and eat. Yeah, because I know, I have understanding of how darkness pollutes those things. Yeah, but if by being invited by, even if it's a believer or it's an unbeliever, and then they present food before me. I'm not going to ask, are you sure this type of fish is not in this soup? Are you sure this type of meat is not there? I'm not going to ask all of those questions. I will just go ahead and eat. Yeah. So we should be free to honor invitations of unbelievers. Yeah, because it's an opportunity to lead them to Christ. Though you have to be careful also to pray before you honor such invitations, if the Lord wants you to go, because some invitations are traps, deadly traps created by Satan. Yeah, some invitations from unbelievers are deadly traps created by Satan to destroy, to kill, and to hurt Christians. Yeah, so you also have to pray if the Lord wants you to go. So if the Lord said go, yeah, then you should go, because it's an opportunity to lead them to Christ, to shine your light. It's an opportunity. I pray that the Lord will help us to live the kind of lives He wants us to live in the earth, in Jesus' name. So I'm going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask on the Telegram group, or you can ask me personally. Yeah. If you want to learn, you have to ask questions. Yeah. And the ministry that gives room for questions. Yeah. So, even if you have questions that are not related to the teaching we did today, you are free to ask on our Telegram platform. Any questions about the kingdom of God, Christian life, yeah, the realms of the spirit, angels, any question you can ask. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for you are so faithful. Thank you for everything you have exposed to us during the course of this teaching. Thank you for showing us how to live as living sacrifices in your sight. Thank you also for warning us against wanton putties and activities. Thank you for everything you have made us to understand in this Bible study class. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that you give everyone here hunger to desire more of your word and more of your will and more of your ways. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for I know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name. we have prayed. Amen. Amen.